This week, I got really convicted about a few things. So this sermon is solely for me. And if anybody else gets something out of it, I really am grateful. But so I hope you don't mind me dealing with myself for a little bit this morning. And you just getting to hear parts of it. But if you want to turn Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, you can also put a mark in at John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. Those are the two texts we're going to look at this morning. But Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to focus more on some things this morning. But how many of you have a job where you drive a considerable distance on a regular basis? No one. All right. I mean, you guys drive the Baxters at least 4 or 5 times a week, right? It feels that way. It feels like it's 7, right? But there's some things. When I would drive, like if you go on a vacation and you get on the interstate, or sometimes when you drive the same amount of road over time, me, I really can't talk about this too much because I drive a half mile to work every morning and a half mile home afterwards, and most of everything I do is within a mile of my home. So I can't really, I don't have a lot of time to see other things happen while I'm driving around here, but I do know that I've been on vacations or I've been different places. Or if you drive to Boone, I know one time driving to Boone in a bus is more fun because you're up in the bus. So you're looking down and seeing what people are doing in a car more than trying to just see where their eyes are. And it is amazing to me how many people will not look up. I mean, I've had friends of mine who I'm like, I'll get somewhere and I'll call them and say, hey, I waved at you today. And they're like, where? And I was like, I was in the bus. And they were like, I didn't see a bus. And one of these friends was, you know, in Fosco, where it's a pretty considerable straightaway. And they totally never saw the bus the entire time. I told him, I said, well, I know you didn't see the bus because I saw your phone in your hand and your eyes in your phone the entire time I was driving at you. I was like, it's a wonder you didn't swerve. But distracted driving, it became a huge topic a few years ago. And these are things that are vitally important. And, you know, it doesn't have to be. Now, the sermon is not about distracted driving, nor is it me getting mad at myself for it. I have to admit that I have driven distracted until I got my bus license. Didn't really realize the importance of being able to focus on everything around you. But when you have 40 kids in the back of a bus and you're driving somewhere, you cannot look at your phone. It's impossible because you've already got so many conversations and noises and things you're trying to pay attention to. Joe, you can attribute to that as well. You just put your phone to the side and you'll answer somebody when you answer somebody. But I've seen people reading the newspaper, reading a book, and this is just in my time driving. I mean, I'm sure that some of you could probably attest to some things you've seen as well. But reading a newspaper, reading a book, texting. I, in fact, one time saw someone watching a movie while they were driving. They had their phone in their hand on top of the wheel, and they were driving, and you could tell they were watching a video. So these things happen. These are things that are going on, and distractions on the road in a moving vehicle can be deadly. We know that. But I want to focus a little bit on distractions in life. That's what the front meant. You know, I forgot to change the part that said today's sermon, but underneath in the schedule side, I guess, of the bulletin, it says what today's sermon is. It's living life in focus. Here's the thing. Distractions can be a problem in our relationship with God, and that is just plain and simple what we're looking at. And I want to look at this section of scripture here, Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. We're going to look at this story this morning. But it says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, as we look at this morning, and we look at this section of Scripture, there's a couple things that we need to see. This is Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. This is probably around the same time of Lazarus' death. Now, I don't know if it would have been before or after he raised Lazarus from the dead. My guess would be after. Chronologically speaking, I don't think that really matters here. What we're looking at is, as we look at it and we look back over it, and just for the context of what we're looking at today, you know, what we're seeing here is that here is a situation where Jesus has entered their home, and he's been approached by Martha in a circumstance that we're not really too, I guess, unfamiliar with is the word that I would look for here. Because what we're seeing, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. That's what the first part of verse 40 says. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said. Now, we're going to focus on that in a moment, but I also want to look at this here. Her distractions that she was facing that day were very well intentioned. Her distractions were not something that were intended to be hurtful to anyone. Her distractions for that day were not really anything out of the ordinary. I mean, if we look at the story here, the real thing that she's missing out on is something that we all miss out on each and every day. And that is listening to Jesus. We miss out on an opportunity because of the distractions in our life. Now, I could stop there, and we understand that and we know that. But Jesus is deserving of our deepest and most well-planned devotion. Jesus deserves our love and devotion, correct? So he alone is the one who can enable us to do great things in our lives and to deal with life's distractions. He alone is the one who can help us deal with the circumstances that we face. Now, when we get to this point, here's where I want to stop for just a moment, and I want us to understand this. This visit to the home of Mary and Martha, it follows immediately in the scripture, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, the distractions in Luke 10 that we see here in Martha are loving distractions. They are not anything that we need to sit here and try to understand necessarily, other than to say that this, it really kind of brought a challenge from Jesus. Now, this, you know, after the death of Lazarus, Martha also questioned Jesus. And she responded and said, she's like, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." So Martha is very adamant to kind of throw things at him. And there is a relationship. And we see that in John chapter 11. When you look at the story of Lazarus and you look at the story of how that was handled, you realize that she has a special relationship with Jesus. That family and Jesus were close. So for them to be sitting at Mary and Martha's house, and Martha is distracted by serving, and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, so we understand the context of this relationship that Martha would have had. But see, here's the thing. Even with that relationship Martha had with Jesus, Martha took that for granted. Martha understood Jesus to be her friend, but she missed out on something in the midst of all of this. So what we're looking at today and what we're looking at in this situation is eternal life is not really gained in doing, but receiving. Now, I want us to understand that right now. Eternal life is not gained in the doing, but in the receiving of what God is laying in our lives, of that relationship that we have with Jesus. Now, how many of us today, and this is where it gets personal with me, how many of us today would say that we serve for the kingdom in a mighty way? Or that we are constantly pouring ourselves out on, you know, for the cause of Christ is the way I could word that this morning. Because I can tell you right now that with what I do in my life, it's no secret. But I find myself day in and day out battling with certain things where I'm going, I'm too distracted by this. Does that mean that our relationship with Christ can be a bad thing? No. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we become like Martha. Jesus is in your home. He's sharing the word. He is preaching the gospel. And you're busy doing other things. Now, if we look at the custom of the time and we look at how things work out, in verses 38 through 40, let's just look at how we battle distractions in our lives. The first thing I see in this, verses 38 through 40, is desiring others to participate in your distraction. Desiring others to participate in your distraction. We look at those three verses. The first thing we see is she goes to Jesus and says, "Tell Mary to come help me." All right? She says, "Tell Mary to come help me." Well, what we're seeing in this is that she is busy serving and providing hospitality, but certainly this is something that she should be commended for, correct? I mean, in the custom of the time, the women were to serve, and that was a customary thing, is that when you had guests in your home, you served the guests. Well, there's something here that we're missing if we see that Jesus is not going to tear down Mary for what she's doing. In fact, yes, it's customary to serve, but the thing that Martha does here that's not necessarily customary is that Martha then throws Mary under the bus in front of her guests. Because she then says that Mary's not doing anything. She's just sitting there. She's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. You know, the Good Samaritan that's before this, the problem in that story, you know, Jesus commends service to a neighbor. He commends that the Samaritan served that, you know, the one who had been beaten, that the Samaritan did what didn't necessarily need to be done. But he's talking about service, and then the immediate response that Martha has is, well, look, Mary's doing nothing. Mary's sitting over here doing absolutely nothing. How many times in my life, or how many times in your life have you looked at someone else in the faith and someone else in the church or someone else at a church event or a church function where we're running ourselves to death and we're saying, look, so-and-so's not doing a thing. They're not serving anyone. They're just sitting there like a knot on a log. How many times do we want to convict people without understanding what's really taking place? How many times do we see, and I know growing up it was a customary thing, and I know this is going to, I'm not trying to put anything on anybody, but what I'm saying is, I remember being a kid in church, and you get to one of the big holidays of the year, Easter, I think was always a good one to think about. Anytime you had a meal after church, here I haven't noticed this nearly with what I've noticed at other churches before. But the women somehow seem to be gone during the service. The women were usually not in the sanctuary during the service, because where were they? They were in the fellowship hall, preparing the meal, serving, trying to get the hospitality part down, doing exactly what Martha's doing right here. And then there might be one woman that stays in the sanctuary, and those women who were serving were so angry that so-and-so didn't come up there until the end of the service. But what were they? I mean, it's the exact same story, just moved up a couple thousand years. But I think if Jesus were hearing those women complain that day, he would say the same thing to them that he said to Martha that day. But what I want to see in here is this. The word that is translated as distracted right here in verse 40. And I'm going to mispronounce it again. Perispato? Close enough? Perispato, okay. That has a connotation. It's being translated as distracted, but the root of this perispato is distracted. Perispato, what? I distract. Okay, so it's like a personal thing. Perispato was distracted. So you're looking at this where Martha was distracted by serving. That's what the scripture actually says. It says that she was distracted by her service. She was distracted. Now, what in the world could that possibly mean? So as we look at this and we start to break this down, peripatetō has this connotation to be pulled or dragged in many different directions. Now, if we look at it in that way and we start to think about, this is where it gets personal to Philip. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is where I start to see, I mean, I've already talked to you guys about it this morning and listed out everything I did from Thursday till today, and one of which was finally collapse in sleep because I was so exhausted from letting myself be pulled one place, then to another, and then to another, and never slowing down. Now, were the things I was doing worthwhile? Probably. But I was distracted by busyness. I was distracted by and then I started thinking about this as I was preparing this sermon, and I got to looking at other things in my life, and I'm going, this is my life. This is how I live. This is what I do. This is exactly what Jesus is telling Martha not to do. And I realized that Martha's distraction and worry leave no room for the most important aspect of hospitality that we can see in this. No room for the most important aspect, and that is to pay attention to the guest in front of you. The guest in your home. Martha's so busy by distractedly doing everything she can to serve that she forgot to be attentive to the guest. But see, Mary, on the other hand, was attentive to the guest. She was listening to Christ. She was taking in what Jesus was saying. So what we're looking at here, in fact, she breaks all the rules. Martha breaks the rules of hospitality here because she's trying to embarrass her sister for doing the right thing. She's trying to embarrass her sister in front of the guest by asking the guest to intervene in what seems to be a family dispute. I mean, that's just hard to deal with right there. That would be like if the Stanleys have a family get-together one night and they invite somebody over, and then Nicholas or Blake, one comes to the... Let's say Joe's the guest. Joe's an honored guest. He's there. And Blake goes to Joe and says, I need you to intervene in this situation between me and Nicholas because... It's not working right. Sorry, you guys are the only brothers that popped into my head right away. But see, that's not how... Joe didn't go there with the intention of playing mediator. Nicholas probably doesn't even realize that he's doing anything that's upsetting Blake. And Blake's so furious that he's trying to get someone else to intervene because he doesn't want to do it himself. That's the story of Mary and Martha. That's the story that's going on right here. And she's going as far as to accuse Jesus of something that we all do every single day when we get fully distracted by what life is. And we look at God and we say, do you not care about me? See, it hits home, doesn't it? Because that's a common prayer. I mean, I'm guilty of it. You're sitting there, you're going through a hard time, you're going through some pain in your life, and you don't understand why. And the first thing you cry out is, God, don't you care? I've prayed about this for months. Don't you care that I need to see you do this exact, specific, one time only? It's the only thing you can do that's going to make me happy because I don't care about any of the rest of it. But don't you care that that's what I want to see done in my life? How many times have we asked God that prayer? Oh, but we prayed about it. Did we? Did we pray that God's will be done? Or did we give God an order and expect it to be done and then call out to him and say, don't you care about me? Because you're not doing what you said you would do. Well, he is doing what he said he would do. He's right there in your presence. He's in your midst. He didn't leave you, nor did he forsake you. But yet you're calling out and saying, don't you care about me? Don't you want me to have what I need? He's going, if only you could see what you really need. See, here's the story. Jesus' words to Martha might actually be seen more of an invitation than a rebuke. They might actually be a little bit more of an invitation to Martha
than a rebuke to Martha. Because he's basically saying, look, Martha, you're distracted by the things of life. You're distracted by many things. And this story that you're trying to get me to fall in line with right now, there's a need for one thing in your life. And that one thing that Martha needed was to just graciously receive the presence of Jesus. He is in her home. He is sharing some stories. And Martha is so distracted by the busyness of life that she's missed out on the fact that Jesus is in her midst. How many of us today miss the fact that His Spirit is present within us because we're so distracted by the busyness of life around us? We're so distracted by what we think needs to be done in our lives, and we don't stop and just take a moment to realize He's there. He's been there, and He's not going anywhere, but we're in the presence of the Almighty. But we somehow missed that whole thing. He's been there the whole time, but we've been so distracted by our life that we've missed it. The one thing she needed was to listen to His words. The one thing she needed was to know that she was valued not for what she did or how well she did it, but that she was a child of the King. She just needed to understand that in this culture of hectic schedules, this pursuit of happiness by doing, she just needed to stop for a moment, take a deep breath, and sit down beside her sister. And rather than get angry at Mary for what she was doing, just sit with her and take it all in herself and realize that Jesus was there. And they were in the moment with Him. See, the understanding of that, many, many times today, we could identify with Martha all day long. I guarantee you, just looking at some of the faces I've seen in here today, some of you identify with Martha. Because you feel the pull and the tug to go many different directions at once. You feel like you're distracted by worldly things. And there seems to be a common thread in this fast-paced world. Luke chapter 12, verse 25 says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The answer is no. Martha was worried that the work wouldn't get done. She was worried about Mary sitting there and not doing any of the work. She was worried about the things that weren't important in that moment. And she even resorted to, from taking that worry, looking at Christ and going, do you not care about me? I mean, can you imagine how that must have felt to be her at that moment? I don't think you have to, because we've been there. We all understand that. It's true that much of our busyness and distraction stems from the noblest of intentions, but we somehow find our way to the bitterest of mindsets. The biggest struggle we have is that we allow what we intended to be good turn into bitterness because we just don't see how that could be the way that everything should have worked out. Well, maybe it's that we weren't even listening from the point we started. Maybe we weren't listening from when all this started. Indeed, the church would be a failure without some of the Marthas serving. But I want to understand this today. There are faithful folks who tend to tasks, but sometimes we let the tasks distract us. Sometimes we let the tasks at hand pull us in different directions than we were intended to go. Our activities leave us with no time to be still and just listen. Our activities leave us with no time but to be completely burdened by the work that was intended as a blessing. Yeah, it makes us feel great to serve. It makes us feel good to do what we are supposed to do for the kingdom of God, but yet it becomes bitterness and it becomes struggle and it becomes heartache because we get so distracted by the busyness of it that we're missing out on the presence of Him in our lives. We're missing out on that presence today. This is why I say that we need to be focused. This is why I say that we need to have that focus, both listening and doing. Not only doing the work, but receiving God's blessing in our life is how we need to focus. We can just do, and we become distracted by it, And we become bitter because we're constantly doing, and there's somebody who just we don't feel is doing enough. And then when it would all come down to is there is a need for only one thing. We need to pay attention to the guest who is in our midst. We need to pay attention and give attention to that guest today, because he's trying to work in you. He's trying to show you the right way. And it says right here, it says, Martha, you were worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Jesus says to Martha, Mary chose to sit down and listen, and I will not take that from her. In other words, what it sounds like Jesus is saying to Martha is, Martha, you're worried about nothing, and you would be wise to do exactly what Mary is doing at this moment. That's kind of the thing he's saying. How many times has a parent told a child that? How many times have you felt that way in your life, that maybe if I would have just taken a breath, I would have realized what was really going on? The second thing we see in this is that we need to put our cares on Jesus. Verse 41, he said, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You know, if we look at that and we start to look at this, here's what God's word tells me today. The word tells me that I am not to have care, and yet my Lord does care. Is that a contradiction? Is that a contradiction? The answer is no. The Bible never contradicts itself. And here's why I'm saying this. The word cares and he cares for you is a different Greek word than the word cares that we're talking about here. And here's the thing. One word is meaning about divine care, that God cares for us. The other is an anxious care. Anxiety and divine care are two different things. So when we look at this, no, it's not contradictory. In the English, the Bible does seem to contradict itself sometimes, because we don't think, hey, this was written in a different language. Blake, you've probably dealt with that in classes many times. There's many things that in the scriptures that people will look at, but when we look to the root, we start to realize that the word here is not the word there, and we only came up with one English word to describe seven Greek words. That doesn't make sense. So if we really want to get down to the bare bones of it, what we need to look at is this. We are dependent upon God. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. You know, he talked about these things. In other words, God is saying, basically, I'll take care of you. I will take care of the burden. Don't think about it. Give it to me and let's move forward together. So if we cast our burdens on him, you know, we talked just a few weeks ago about bearing one another's burdens. Those burdens all need to be laid at the feet of God. And we need to say, look, God, I'm sorry. I've tried to bear this myself, and my burdens have become a struggle. Can you please take that? And then we lay it down, and we don't pick it back up, and we move forward. Yes, we may still be going through a difficult time, but we no longer have to bear the weight of the burden, because the burden is now being taken care of by the one who created us and who can take care of it. You see, dependent children are not going to not ask a parent. If you are a dependent child, you are going to go to your mom or dad and you're going to say, look, I need this for this week. I need this for that. Or if we go even talk about a baby, what's a baby do? Cry. If a baby's hungry, he cries. If a baby's thirsty, he cries. Whatever the situation might be. And what we look at here is, that basically what we're looking at is that God is keenly aware that we are dependent upon him. He knows. He created us. He knows that our lives depend on him. So he says what to us in his word? He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I realize you depend on me. But let's make sure you know what you need. So ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, the door will be open, but I'm not going to do it for you. You've got to get to the point where you realize you need it. Here's Martha looking at Jesus saying, don't you care? And Jesus is saying, I care more than you know. Because right now, you're asking me to do something and take a blessing away from someone because you're jealous of the time they're getting. Stop. Sit down. And enjoy this moment. See, when we doubt that God cares, we insult him. We insult God when we doubt that he cares about us. Now, I know that might sound kind of it might sound kind of weird, but let's see. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. In the midst of the storm, they asked Jesus. They said, "Master, don't you care about us?" And his response, of course he cared. You know, he cared for them. He did. And he showed them. And had he not said, "Let us set sail and be drowned." I mean, I don't believe that's what Jesus said when they got ready to set sail that night. He didn't say, "Well, let's set sail, but we won't make it across. We're going to drown in the midst of this problem." What did he say? What did he say to the disciples that night? He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." Verse 35, he said, "Let us pass over to the other side." So the anxiety that the disciples showed that they were carrying the burden of the storm. And Jesus is like, what? "Peace, be still." When we come to that moment where we can recognize and be still in the moment, we can find that God is doing great things for us. So what we see is what he tells Martha in verse 40. When we find out that, or after verse 40, we find out the distraction. She's saying, "Do you not care?" And then she basically throws it on him and says, "Tell her to help me. You know, Lord, tell her to do this." And what we see is that he basically lays it out there for her. Mary had no worry, because she had already cast it all upon Jesus. She had cast her lots upon Jesus at that moment. She was sitting there fully enveloped into his presence in her life. And we miss out when we don't do the same, because the distractions of life get in the way of our recognition of his presence. See, God has given us a remedy for the anxieties that come our way. The third thing that we see in this, and this is the last little bit, it says choosing the good part. Mary chose what was right. That's what Jesus tells Martha. Mary chose the good part of this. Our focus should be on God. We should find our focus in him. Finding focus takes a lot more than us just being taken by a moment. We have to recognize the presence of God in our lives. We have to recognize the presence of his Spirit in our hearts. And we have to take that moment and let the distractions go away. We have to cast our burdens upon him because he cares for us, and then realize that he does care and not question him. See, Jesus says Mary has chosen the good part. And it's a choice she made, and it's a choice that we must make, and we must make it every single day, to choose the distractions over the presence of God. We choose the distractions over the love that he's giving, that he's right there in the moment sharing with us. We choose the distractions because, well, they distract. They keep us focused on things that we don't really need to deal with. Well, why are we dealing with the distractions in the first place? Because we're carrying the burdens. See, this week, my life has been crazy. I have bounced from one thing to another to another. And at the end of the week, when I sat down yesterday and started thinking about all of this a little bit, I realized where my problem was. I was bearing the burden that I didn't need to bear. I hadn't cast my cares upon the Lord. I had been distracted by the busyness of trying to get through the situation, but I had not realized he was there in my presence and just waiting for me to stop and sit down and listen. Sometimes it's that still small voice. It's that peace be still. It's that be still and know moment that we find God right where he's always been. When we finally put our glasses on and focused on the situation. When we finally put the distractions aside and focused on the presence of God. When we focus on his presence in our lives, we find peace. So what about Martha? Martha appeared to be a woman who was valuing the busyness of life. And Jesus says, "You worry. You're anxious. You are not thinking properly." And he tells her Mary had chosen what was better. So basically, when we look at this, I just want to close out this way. A.W. Tozer reflected upon the lack of a holy desire for God in the Christian community by saying this. He said, "It is a solemn thing and no small scandal in the kingdom to see God's children starving while actually seated at the Father's table." We starve as Christians. We're sitting there in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ in our lives, and we're starving because we're distracted by everything else. And we're not taking in what he's giving us. We're not taking in what he has laid in front of us to as a meal. We're seated at the Father's table and we're not being nourished. Or maybe, I don't know how many people have looked at the Experiencing God book by Henry Blackaby, but there's one statement that's in there. God is far more interested in a love relationship with you than he is in what you can do for him. And then Charles Colson said this: God doesn't want our success, he wants us. See, we get so distracted by the things that we're doing in life. We get so distracted by these things that we think are going to make us a better person. No matter what it is. I get distracted by my jobs. I get distracted by coaching. I get distracted by circumstances or situations. I get distracted by not hearing a thank you here or there. Sometimes at work, we get distracted by our own personal buildup, and we forget to realize that we don't need all that. We don't need to be thanked for us to have a relationship with God. We don't need to have our name across a billboard or to have our success touted in the paper for someone else to see. We don't need all of these things to happen for us to realize that simply what we have here today is the presence of God in our lives. Sometimes we just need to be still and to know. Sometimes we just need to stop and relax. Sometimes we just need to understand that all he wants is us. See, when we battle the distractions of our life, when we battle through the struggles, we have to position our focus on Christ. And that focus that we have, that will help us to take those worries and the frustrations and the difficulties and the distractions of life and push them to the side so that we can more clearly see what God is doing. And we need to bring ourselves before him today as a sacrifice. So are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to sacrifice everything for him? Are you willing to lay it all down and fully focus on what he's doing and his presence in your life? Because he's been there the whole time. But you've been focused on the busyness and not realizing the presence of God was sitting right there for you in that moment.